นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะพุทธังธัมมังสังฆังนะโมสัมมิSo, cultivating relationship, relational practice. Just to bear in mind, relationship is always necessary. It's always there. When we're trying to clear relationship from greed.Hatred, fear, delusion, projection, controlling, defending, manipulating, and so on. And so, you know, I'm really learning this because in the world as it is, relational experience is often tainted with these kinds of energies, gross or slight.Not just between people, it starts between people, and then we do it to ourselves, to our bodies, to our hearts, to our minds, to our thinking processes. We want them to be a certain way, we get annoyed if they're not a certain way, we feel embarrassed by them if they're not a certain way, we manipulate them, we push them, we squeeze them, we slap them around. And, or we get intoxicated with them. You know, what a wonderful being I am. And then relationship loses its relational quality. You know, we absorb into these modalities. Yeah. So the mind doesn't.Remember, the mind absorbs into not things, but the mind absorbs into relationships with things. That's what it absorbs into. So you never absorb into food, you absorb into your attitudes around food, or your preferences around food, or your hunger.Or your lack of it, or your tastes, or your fancies, you when it's absorbed, the mind picks that up. Because it can't pick up material things, it picks up immaterial things, it picks up the signs, this is pleasant, this is unpleasant. And it, this I can have, this I cannot have. And it picks up these relational qualities. In other words, the dynamic that occurs when an object appears or manifests.Do it manifest for a microsecond, it's a and then some sort of something happens, right? Relationship begins to form. Like, oh, that's one of those, oh yeah. And excitement or antipathy or apprehension occurs, and then how do I make it the way I'd like it to be? The mind starts doing that. So, and then.This is the, so that's the relational experience. So when we're cultivating sati, mindfulness, the aim is to, you know, establish a sense of there's an object, it's a physical feeling, sensation, and realize the mind is going to start generating particular relational qualities, feeling comfortable, feeling uncomfortable, feeling uncertain. It's going to experience these.And it's going to absorb into those. And if it absorbs into them, if they're negative, it makes a lot of them. It makes big conflicts and so on. If we've got a conflictive relationship, it absorbs into the conflictual sense and it struggles to make things go the way I want them to. It absorbs into a pleasing one and it feels comfortable and settled. And so that's a,recognized, and so, but then to absorb into a comfortable relationship means it's got to be pretty much like, how is this? How do I, where do I sit with this? How do I operate towards this? It's got to be a lot of negotiation, subtly. What is that? How is the way to fit this? So you can't come in saying, okay, I want it to be that I want it to be. That already is the wrong relationship. Because we, you know, isn't it? Because it is what it is, and so you've got to pause and linger. And how do I form a skillful relationship with this sensation, this body, this breathing, this context, this person, you know, from the micro to the macro level? What is this? How does it operate? How do I form a skillful relationship where there's a sense of something comfortable, fluent, is there? Sometimes it can be stepping back. Yeah. And some is going to be inquiring, like, how is that? And then stepping back, waiting, listening. And some is going to be like a little bit more, really, can I get this? So it's negotiation of contact. It's not one or the other, it's this movement. No. You go. So first suggestion is just to step back. See if you can give yourself time to get the whole of it. And then check your motivations. Are you open? Or are you trying to make it work? Trying to do something? So just check, disengage from that. And return again. How is that? And where do you get the sense of, yeah, I can meet this? This bit is the bit I could meet. This area of out-breath or sensation, I can rest in that. I can contact that. I can make a skillful contact with that, which is not struggling or manipulative. And that may last for a while. And then it might slip off and you've got to negotiate again. Step back, check it out, inquire, how is that? How am I with that? How is that? Feeling out, going right into it, what really is this? And stepping back, this sort of movement. So it's quite a, this is the skillful movement, vitakka vichara, or bringing to mind. And evaluating. The evaluation is like a turning things over. What's the appropriate distance, space, time span on this? Just sit back and wait for 3 or 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, half a minute. See if you can get a reasonable reading of that experience. So this is the, you know, what relationship means. And if we begin to get that, then we're clearing out the degrees of manipulativeness, anxiety, I can't do this, fearfulness, aggressiveness, and so on. Or just think you're just going to get there on the first second, immediate, there we go, swinging along. Yeah. If you had any relationships like that, you probably realize it doesn't. So this, we can look at this cultivation both at the micro level and a larger level in our relationship with other beings, other people, creatures, and so on. What scenarios? How can I be with her when she's in distress? Step back, gently move in, quietly maintain presence. And so this is the way you cultivate, don't you? How can I be with her when she's getting really out of hand and feisty and angry? Step back, step way back, wait for the moment to, hello, you know, tentative. And so learning this interpersonally and also in yourself. How do you deal with your anger or grief? You rush in and try and sort it out, or just step back and wait for the pause or the moment where you can sense there is an opening here to just say, hello, I hear that. Mm-hmm. Of course, this responsiveness that is required, our ability to respond in relationship. When to a willingness to step back, to move forward, to engage, to give it time, to... This is a real yoga of the heart, isn't it? Flexible yoga of the heart. Having the time to move forward, stretch in the space, step back to rest. Yoga of the heart. A beautiful skill to cultivate. Like any other yoga, you're not going to be flexy on day one. The main thing is to get out of the rigidities, first of all. The thing is all forward or all backward, you know. Or all, you know, don't engage or get it going. It's to get out of the rigidities that we may have adopted. So overall, this brings to mind the cultivation of this four spheres, four fields of goodwill. We can call them all goodwill in a way. They're all good-hearted, and the lit names of these, metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. So metta, that which is interested in offering nourishment. Of any kind, which is interested in offering, free will offering, very much associated with dharma. It just enjoys the sense of offering. Karuna, that which is resonates, because with the quality of metta, we resonate with the fundamental understanding that living beings need food. What kind of food? I don't know. It could be air, could be water, could be space, could be a smile, it could be any attention. But whatever, we don't quite know what the food is that they need. But all beings need sustenance. So with that understanding, beings are not just flat. They need some kind of, or their interest in some kind of sustenance. You don't quite know what it is, but you're attuned to that possibility. And you just check out. Maybe you just need space, kindly attention, one word, a touch. Who knows? You don't know. You don't have to fill that in. Because with these cultivations, you just get to that sense of awareness that creatures need sustenance and enjoy sustenance. And you linger in that awareness. And that you can be part of that. You're in that. So it's a sphere. Includes oneself and others. You could be in the sphere of that which is, you know, aware and enjoying sustenance. Your own body enjoys the sustenance of warmth on a cold day, feels helped, supported by that. He enjoys silence when it's been noisy, and it enjoys conversation when it's been silent. And you never quite know exactly how much of each, but you know that that is that possibility and to negotiate it. And same for others. So the willingness and interest in the potential for sustenance, nourishment, and heart, from the heart. And everything else is secondary. What you do with your body, your speech, is just following through on that. But certainly when we cultivate as a meditation, which is doing this, coming to that awareness in your own heart and lingering in it. The touchability of beings. Beings are touchable. Not necessarily physically touchable, but emotionally touchable. They are open, they are sensitive. Are you aware of that? With that awareness, their sensitivity, their permeability, then may agreeable quality arise for them. May I be part of that, participate in that agreeable sustenance, agreeable touch, agreeable impression from the heart. Karuna is the awareness that beings experience loss. They experience this rift of separation where the agreeable drops away, the pleasure stops, the known ends, the gulf, the rift that we all know. And there is not a being of any kind who does not experience that. And human beings experienced it many times. And you're aware of that. You're aware of that. And you linger in that, bring up that felt impression, the separateness, the separation, the loss of company, the loss of being included. Yeah. Feeling shut out, the loss of affection, the loss of a loved one, the loss of their dignity, the loss of their privacy. We experience rift many times. And every time it happens, there's a kind of clang, heart, shivers. And there's not a being, not a human being, who is not experiencing this, has never experienced it, or will never experience it. All beings experience this. It's death, wounding, some kind. You just go to that rift experience that you know yourself. And how is that? To not to close the gap, but just to be present in that and feel the heart trembling or whatever it does. Stay present with it, not to, oh well, that's life. You know, not to shrug it. Not to fill it up with something. Just stay in an open state. And from there, what kind of quality of heart arises? Sense of to protect, to befriend the painful. To befriend the hurt. What kind of friend is that? Someone who is saying, essentially not just saying it, but you're not alone. Yeah, I too am in this. And this amazing sensitivity we have is such that as you see it manifest, when people are, you know, hurt and damaged, The most important thing is that the other person, another person, saying, you're not alone with this. I'm here with you on this. Just presence. The presence does not move away, because the fundamental quality of the rift is exactly the experience of presence moving away. So as soon as presence returns, even in the pain, there's some sense of beginning to find some ground. Because the nature of our heart is relational. So if some relationship snaps, there's this loss, disorientation. And really what is needed is not, you can't go back, but that you begin the relationship by relating to that sense of loss. So I'm present with this. And you can do this for another being, another human, another creature. And they shiver or they cry or whatever they do, and you just And that just helps to reset. So every time we go through this wounding experience, which is inevitable, which comes to us many times, great, big losses, small losses, re-establishing presence in the presence of loss. And this is where we reset to a wider sense of relationship. So I'm not just relating to, happiness, but also to unhappiness. And the marvelous thing about the heart mind is, even to relate to unhappiness is still a relationship in which you think, okay, I'm just more wider, more able to bear with, and more able to find stability and fluency in the presence of the sadness. And it definitely matures us. So this important quality, absolutely vital, since loss is inevitable, of one kind or another, great or small, to be able to reset in the presence of it, rather than just shrug and walk away and get another one. Then we're learning something about, from life is teaching us something about span, the ability to span pleasure and pain, and find there's a groundedness and a certain frozen out by it. And we are also tender-hearted. Where are the vulnerability of beings? How easy it is to deprive a human being of their dignity, their confidence, their privacy, their self-worth. How these qualities, which human beings need for clear clear presence, is easily deprived of self-respect, self-worth. So with that awareness, and recognize this probably happened already, with that awareness we are maintain our quality of respect, sensitivity. We don't take people just as what we see or what we project. This being is someone a being who is as lost, has experienced loss, has been abused, insulted, disrespected, and treated just as an object. Let me be part of that which helps them to reset into their own value. Protection, acceptance, all these involved with recognizing the vulnerability and the hurt of others. This is a very precious awareness, precious understanding. It's certainly not about, you know, making things happy and wonderful, but it gives us, when these two give you definitely a role. You know, if you're looking for something to do, this is what to do. Metta Karuna. Beings will enjoy nourishment. You don't quite know what nourishment would be, but beings enjoy it. Beings enjoy even someone asking them, what would you like? And meaning it. Beings begin to find themselves coming out of their dented, damaged states by being able to have that understood or seen or known. Doesn't mean you necessarily talk about it even, but just the awareness and the sense that someone else is sensitive to one's anxiety or nervousness or insecurity or whatever manifests, with a mind of compassion. These are two very important cultivations. Mudita, the ability to experience appreciation, be uplifted by the happiness, the welfare, and the good skills of another, skillful happiness of another. You know, she's really good at ice skating. She's really, looks like she's into that, really flowing. Oh, good for her. You experience the fluency, the person in their fluent place. Yeah. Could be cooking, could be anything really. And you feel happy because you know, oh, that place is good. And may they not be parted from that. May they linger in that. May they also appreciate that. And may I share in that, which helps to, in a way, amplify it. I then participate, I rejoice, rather than she's better than me. Which is how to make good fortune miserable. She's better than me. How come I didn't get to do that? So in this way we are able to experience appreciation. And for oneself, which again is not so usual, because the places that you are fluent in, you probably think, oh, it's nothing special, everybody can do this. Yeah, just doing things. So what? So to appreciate the places where you're not getting stuck, where things are moving, fluid, no snacks. And the way our mind is, we often don't notice these. This is where I'm not suffering. Yeah, I'm really good at going to bed. So that's my high spot today. I do that really well. Just that moment you lie down, you feel the weight of your body disappear, and there's that. Oh, great. You know, just thinking, this could be probably happening for many people, enjoying rest. And rather than thinking about tomorrow or mulling over the wrongdoings of the day. And it's always a skillful practice to, at the end of the day, just to bear in mind any good fortune, any signs of goodwill in others, anything you can see that make you smile or feel warmed in the actions of others. She's really, the kitchen staff really so effective and quiet and supportive, that's beautiful. They're human beings like I am. They got their stuff, but they got all that food together, put it out there, and smiled and disappeared. That's really sweet. Little things you can notice, and noticing, making it broad, it's a broad span, a broad perceptual field of skillfulness, skillful means. Admiration. You know, this person is very persistent. She's always here. She always gets there, and she's, you know, she must be going through some stuff, but she sits there and seems to be bearing with it. Wow, sadhu. So this is what the beauty of group can be. Group is not an easy thing to experience because we tend to see it as all the differences. And then there's the whatever you make it of differences. But the mudita and the mudana group, you know, there's effort being made, patience is being ground out of you, squeezed through endurance. And, you know, we're keeping precepts. Well done, group. Yeah. So these are things we can recognize, you know, no killing, no stealing, no sexual abuse. This is a good day. And so just being able to widen the lens and take in that, because our tendency is to get hypnotized by the snacks and fret and nag and like a terrier on a rat. The little snaggy bits that we should have done and didn't do. Worry. Worry and negativity. Particularly prone to that in performance cultures. The world performance runs on the threat of negativity. Failure. So performance lives in the shadow of failure. It's not a performance, it's not dogged by failure. It hovers behind it. It's that, his name Reinhold Messner, was this incredible alpinist, mountaineer, who climbed all the highest peaks in the world. I think they're called over 8,000 meters. So that's over 2,500 feet. Anyway, some incredible, or 18,000 meters, I don't know, but he climbed everything that could be climbed, he climbed it. And still not done the real, so he starts climbing without oxygen, you know, to make it a bit tougher. and climbing it, you know, in the wrong seasons to make it even tougher, and climbing up the difficult sides of the mountains to make it tougher. Yeah. I think one time he just got stuck in some snowdrift, and he's stuck in this snowdrift, and he's feeling this feeling of despair because he hasn't climbed this peak. You know, and trapped just in this frozen negative state of discontent with himself. All the achievements that he accomplished, gone. And you think, you know, you've done 1,000 times more than most people on the planet already. That every performance, the shadow of failure is right there with it. So when you live in cultures where performance of various kinds, it could be just manners, you're not polite enough, you're not well behaved enough, you're not punctual enough, you're not precise enough, you're not tidy enough, you're not clean enough, you're too noisy, you're too quiet, you're too slow, you're too fast, you're this, that, the other. And, you know, the shadow is just everywhere, just the whip is waiting to fall. And then, of course, the education starts, the schooling and the job, and even, you know, the boyfriend or the girlfriend or the partner that you hook up with, and, you know, you make this, that, and the other. Did you do it quick enough, young enough, you know? Or you've been left a wallflower till you're 23 and nobody's bothered to date you, and you really failed as a human being. So even that becomes a performance. You know, if you haven't hooked up by the time you're 14 and a half, there's something wrong with you. you know, everything, isn't it? Clothes, everything, physical appearance, everything. Performance, performance, performance. So that shadow of failure gets closer and closer to and every time you succeed, the shadow does not pass away. It just moves on with you. You cannot win. There's no way you could get run past that shadow because it follows your footsteps. Yeah. So this is why this performance experience, you have to, best you can, start to, you know, dismantle whatever you can get in to rejoicing. Your little bit of failure, you know, that you can manage your failure without making a tribunal out of it. Sadhu, sadhu. You know, just every time you get into that one and check the whip response, and you're like, hey, look, there's a lot more ease and space here than you could imagine. This is what we call success. It's not the driven performance, it's the E. This is what we call success, is that ease and contentment that makes you feel loved, happy, comfortable in your own skin, fluent, free. This is what we call success, not performance. It's the end of it. So you start to, like, you know, appreciate even the way that you tumble and pick yourself up again. Mudita is a precious thing, and recognize in a performance-driven world, you will not, this one will be profoundly lacking. So you may even see what there is to appreciate. So perhaps look at others. You know, you've got to turn on the light, first of all. Turn on the light of mudita and scan around. Yeah. Others or the group. Isn't it wonderful that 50 people can meet and not experience conflict with each other? Without entertainments. Oh, beautiful. So you just turn on the light and the heart lifts into that some kind of gladness. And then you're part of that, remember? It wasn't 50 other people. Now the thing we would probably most like to share with each other, the thing I would most like to share is love in a word. Whatever you make of that word. What else is there that you can really, you know, you can't always give food, you can't always give advice, it's not always necessary or appropriate. What can you always give? What can you share in a sense of, you know, you have beauty, you have, I respect, appreciate that quality. Appreciative gladness, I feel gladdened at the possibility of being able to share my appreciation for you. Allow this. And you don't deserve it. It's not performance. Be as you are. That's fine. So this mudita is quite a fine cultivation because it begins to dissolve one of our most tenacious self-boundaries, which is the performance strategy. I am good because I can do this, I can speak this, I've got five languages, I'm this, I'm that, therefore I'm okay. Yeah, doesn't matter. I can dance, I can sing, I can do algorithms, I can, doesn't matter. I can cook, I can play chess, doesn't matter. I just want, you know, that's all stuff. So as we begin to, and in certain retreat times, you know, some of your performance credos are not available, are they? You can't strut your stuff, really, because there's not a lot of stuff to strut. So there's a kind of nakedness in which we feel a bit grim sometimes and fuzzy, and still that sense of you're welcome, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful to be human beings together. This is beautiful. Appreciative joy, gladness. Because without there being other beings, how could you experience this quality of mutual gladness? You can't do it to a wall, can't do it to a statue, can't do it even to an iPhone, you know. They may jabber at you, but they still don't really get it. It's only human beings you can do that with, or creatures, other creatures, living creatures that you can feel resonant with just because they're creaturely. Appreciation. It's not personal. And upeka, equanimity, is the serenity to give things a little more time to move up and move down. Every time it moves down, you say, just wait a little bit longer. So it moves up, oh, I'm getting there, really nearly there, just wait a little bit longer. Oh, I'm going down. Just wait a little bit longer, going down, I'm really going down, wait a little longer. And bottoming out, wait a little longer. And starting to come up. I'm coming up, I'm coming up, I'm coming up. Wait a little bit longer. I'm going down, I'm going down. Just wait a little bit longer until those waves no longer, you know, you just step back. let the waves move through. And that sense of it's very deep trust will pick up. These waves can roll through you. Don't worry about it. These waves can roll through you. Get used to that. Don't worry about it. These waves roll through you. You're not the waves. You're not even you're not locatable in the waves. They're just waves moving through. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's what the world of becoming is. The world of form is waves. You're not them. When you're in the awareness of those, that there's the possibility of not snagging on it. Wait a little bit longer. Patience and equanimity, very close together. So offering this to each other, to ourselves. We go through our troughs, peaks, ups and downs, insights and stupidities, the emotional panging of that. This too will pass. This too will pass. What's left? When this passes, what remains? When this wave passes, what remains? When this happiness passes, what remains? When this unhappiness passes, what remains? What's always there? Open question. So these are things to touch into, to remember, to bring to mind, to resonate with, getting a feeling for. Heart yoga. And so first of all, just to get to the heart, so these are words, they can become ideals that we feel we should be better at, so we make metta into another performance. I'm not as much as good as she is at it. I could do better than this. My sense of mudita isn't adequate. How can I make more of it? Another performance issue. This is the thinking mind. So we tune into the resonances that the heart is capable of. Just take a little pause.